Replenish me. When I say that, what comes up for you? And when's the last time that you've done that? And where do you feel that in your body? Well, this is my invitation to you to explore the four steps of my Replenish Me program, where women learn how to release, restructure, refresh, and rebirth. Showing up in the world, being true to yourself. Only choosing words that honor your values, and only allowing behaviors and people in your life who do the same. Connect with me by reaching out at bit.ly/replenishwithlove and explore Replenish Me. And now for tonight's show. All right. So welcome to the Free to Be show. I'm super excited to welcome Lorraine Van Tool, who I've actually had on my show when it was called the Replenish Me show, but I'm super happy to have her now on the Free to Be show. And before I allow her to speak, okay, you can say hi. I just want to tell you like how amazing she is. First of all, her proper title is Dr. Lorraine Van Tool. She's a licensed clinical psychologist, shamanic and depth hypnosis practitioner, and award-winning author of Amazon Wisdom Keeper, a psychologist memoir of spiritual awakening. Her two-decade devotion in guiding highly sensitive souls and wise women in their transformational journeys from hiding and hurting to healing and leading has resulted in her emergence and empowerment of hundreds of consciousness leaders in psychology, holistic health, yoga, academia, the arts, social justice, renewable energy, ecofeminism, and spiritual entrepreneurship. She's also been published in Thrive Global, Rebel Society, and Medium, and she provides trainings at UC Berkeley Counseling Center, the American Center for Integration of Spiritually Transformative Experiences, the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology, and the Native American Health Center. She's been an expert guest on numerous spiritual podcasts and radio shows, and she enjoys providing cutting-edge guidance to women's sacred circles nationwide. So welcome to the show. You are just your fabulousness in a human form.
I've been coached to write that, but listening to I'm like, I'm going to shorten that. That just makes you feel like, wow, that me. And at the same time, knowing that a lifetime went into all of that, right? So it's wonderful to be here. I liked the Replenish Me title, but I like the Free to Be even more. It feels very resonant.
Yeah, and I think it's a reflection of the times. I didn't know what I know now, right, when I changed the title, because I just decided I wanted to give it a different title coming into 2020. But boy, who knew?
My guide, right? My guides, like at the beginning of the year too, was like 2020. It's all going to be about 2020 vision, clarity, and opening up our eyes. And boy, you know, it doesn't feel like 6 months, right? Feels like what just happened. And it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of that journey. So we're in for a ride. Putting the seatbelt on. And I was at the same time thinking, wow, it's just so ironic, you know, for us not to think conventionally. Like during this biggest lockdown, I've been thinking about my clients, 25 of them so far in groups and individually. And I was like, isn't it like kind of ironic that despite this external sort of this quarantining, this feeling lockdown, they have been feeling probably freer and more in touch with themselves internally because of all this work we've been doing. And I was just, you know, celebrating. I think about them often, but I was just celebrating them today. It's like, wow. And they're from, I mean, they're between their 20s all the way to almost 70. They're so diverse in terms of their sexual orientation, backgrounds, even where they're from, some from Afghanistan, countries in Africa, you know, ethnicities and origins from Asia and Mexico, South America. It's just such a blessing to do this work, you know, and for us who are kind of hermits to begin with that have to be dragged out. I don't know, it's maybe a little perverse, but it's like, it's a little bit of a feast, you know, where you can kind of not have to explain, no, I don't feel like doing that. I mean, I do go outside every day and enjoy nature, try to, you know, clear a lot from just being in the sun and having the wind blow in my face, doing my bike ride, but I can be inside a lot and just source and find so much replenishing, so much freedom happening going into my inner world. So I the paradox of life is it just full of mysteries.
Indeed it is, you know, and as I'm listening to you, it's like, that's pretty much what I've been doing. I'm like between my house and the hiking trail, that's pretty much what I do. I mean, you know, of course I have lots of kids, so I do also go to the grocery store, which is mm-hmm. is also quite fun. Fun, yeah. In a perverse way, right? Because
you appreciate everything more, right? All the yes. food and knowing who doesn't have it. I mean, it's, you know, it's a deep appreciation. I get it.
It really is. It is. So yeah, I, you know, what I'd really like to use our time together today for is you were bringing something up when, you know, before we started recording, and I did look through the little questionnaire you filled out, and you did talk about this, where mm-hmm. you have had selective mutism and those kind of things. And I want to talk about that a little bit because I don't know, first of all, if people know what that is. Because sometimes if you're not, you know, like an aware person, it may be a very unconscious behavior. So are you open to starting there?
Yeah, I can start there. And what I was saying, for me, it's different for different people, but for me, it didn't come out of nowhere. And I think it might be very similar, where especially very sensitive people and people who have experienced punishment, reprimands, that sort of thing, speaking up, will then decide it's not safe to speak up. In my situation, it was a series of similar events of externally being punished for sharing what was happening internally. So part of what I share in my first book, Amazon Wisdom Keeper, I grew up in a country that's mostly covered by rainforest. So I imagined that I was Mowgli growing up, and I had the bob cut and everything, and looked like him. And one of the things that I discovered in nature, and my mother was my biggest nemesis. She is a principal, and she is very strict, a junior high school principal, and much more of an intellect, while I was this sort of natural-born healer and wisdom keeper, very sensitive. And we were like that all the time. Even if I didn't speak up, I just disagreed. In my head, I was constantly like, I'm just going to record her and play it back one day so that she can hear herself, what she's saying, and stuff like that, right? So I would go in the rainforest and already find refuge. I think a lot of us maybe don't do that because we're so dependent on being socially attached. And in the rainforest, I found this place within myself that's like, you, nature can be your mother and your father. And I even had fantasies actually of running away. And one day I dared to say this to my mother, and she was just like, why don't you, you know, and really threatening me, go ahead, and that sort of thing. And that was just her response to everything. I was also very sensitive, cried a lot. And so, you know, often that was met with like a hand raised in my face, like, I'll give you a reason to cry if you don't have one. And I couldn't articulate what I was feeling, right? So anyway, in nature also, I loved reading, and my favorite books were about Helen Keller, Joan of Arc, and Anne Frank. And so those stories told me so much about all the oppression already that is happening around us, from anti-Semitism to misogyny, patriarchy, religious oppression, ableism, and all the ways in which they took that in and trusted themselves. So they were validating me that it's okay to hide, that it's okay to preserve your wisdom. And I still didn't have clear words for my story, but I could see myself in their story, and they're hiding, and they're getting guidance from a God, and they're getting guidance from all kinds of stuff. So it became like more and more of a coping. And then at 10, we had we experienced a military coup, and that made it even more extreme, because my parents would then go in my face and tell me, you cannot say this and this and this, right? And had friends whose dad or whoever got picked up because the wrong thing. So we lived kind of in that kind of terror, and with a curfew. And so I became even more silent and had to just, you know, we didn't have journals or notebooks back then other than for school. So I became very mental. I had all these files in my head of what I would think and do. So anyway, by the time then, when we moved to Florida at age almost 14, this was already such a strong coping thing. Then on top of that, I had to learn a new language, second language anxiety. And that was my first experience of really like extreme, more like a hate crimes, you know, that racist kind of attack because of who you are. While I was from a country where there was oppression and all of that, but it was, you know, a mixed group of 99% non-white, you know, people against another group. So the racial part wasn't so extreme. So when that started to happen and I started to get bullied and picked on, I was like, I'm not talking to anybody. You know, my school friends, I would go on the bus, I would just, you know, be quiet, didn't want to speak up in class until, you know, I was forced to, and then I would still get teased because of the way I pronounced something. So for about a year or so, I didn't feel so need to talk to my parents. I didn't think they got it at all. I had only one younger brother. So I was just really, really reserved and just in my head calculating and things and what to do all the time. And this is probably happening. We talked about this.
My it's transferring because like as you started talking, yeah. I was starting, I like actually felt something in my throat. Yeah. Talk about sensitive souls. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And so the last thing I want to say about this, because I am now speaking, took me a lot, you know, from panic attacks and sweats and crying during interviews, like me pushing myself and every level, you know, having a devil. So I told her I did make it to, you know, I did have a book talk attended by almost 70 people. I did great because I worked with Women Speak and I became a Women Speak leader. But, you know, this fear inside of me knows, like, where is she taking me now? You know, is she like trying to up the ante here? We're just going to stop this. And I'm talking to Cordelia because I remember being so in awe listening to Cordelia's talk. I mean, there were amazing speakers at this Women Speak event in Sedona, but like Cordelia just blew it out of the water. You know, I think she had some scream on stage, which was like, how does anybody do this? So that is the little scared soul in me is like, who are you taking me to? That woman that did that on stage. I know. We're fine here. We already got comfortable talking in front of a camera. What are you doing? That's it. So, but I'm playing. There's a part of me that learned to be open, and I feel so blessed to be in your presence and for this invitation.
Yeah, wow, so much there that you talked about. I think I want to start with ages 10 to 15. That's kind of usually when we have some kind of experience that creates that block between our heart and our you know, our lower wisdom, right? Mm. So for people who are not familiar with the root chakra or the, you know, the chakra system at all, you know, you may feel repressed in your hip area and notice that you have sciatica or your hips lock up, or, you know, like you were saying, you may feel like you're having heart palpitations and stuff like that. And when I said it's an unconscious behavior to you know, choose when you have those sensations in your body to stop talking, those are just your body sending your mind signals, we're not safe. We're not appreciated here. We're not loved here. So we're not going, you know, there's nobody we can trust, but inside our mind, we're safe. And we save, right? We store those ideas for later. And, you know, I would say really, Lorraine, to your credit, storing those ideas for later is, I'm going to prove to my mom that yes, I'm the academic, but I'm going to do it my way. And boy, did you, right? So you went ahead and got your PhD, but then you're just like on the other side of that. So I'm a spiritual healer and I'm going to write about the Amazon and this is where all the world wisdom comes from. And yeah, you know, so like you spend the formative years, if you will, of your life as an observer. And now you're spending the adult years of your life as a healer from those observations of the ills that we have manifested, not just in nature, but in the way we conduct ourselves with each other. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And as you talked, it also, and I'm bouncing off a little bit on the conversation we had even before we started, the mother, right? Our relationship with our mother. And so much healing even occurred, you know, being a precocious person, even maybe before I was 20, understanding how my mother was oppressed and had internalized so many things. So it became sort of something I needed to heal with. A pattern that was larger, much larger than my mother, this oppressive pattern, and how it was also standing in between ourselves and nature and our true nature, and the whole idea of taking that in, because we can get so distracted. That was me too, you know, compulsive wrestler, and everything was done outside of me. And now, you know, I do this deeper work, like you, working with the energies, you know, what is going on inside, and really seeing how, in many ways, you know, it mirrors and what's happening around us collectively, but individually too, to, you know, to really get us to the root of the issues, the root chakra, the safety. And in terms of what I'm feeling right now, it really wavers, you know, because I've done so much work. I can land sort of on that truth body, what I call the truth body, and then the pain body is just like, it's just doing this thing, you know. Yes. And I experience it more as like a coldness in my ligament, in my not my ligaments, the extremities, my hands and feet, like the energy does not fully want to land, you know. Ooh. I don't want to fully be in the body because I'm so intuitive, I can, you know, escape my body, which I've done way too much, so I'm I know how to ground. But when it gets a little scary, we're like, I don't know, maybe we're gonna take flight here, and we feel everything. But you know, that prevents you also from growing. So I'm here to, you know, just like you said, provide this comfortable, safe landing pad, and reassuring that part, it's okay. You can land, and we're not going to do anything crazy. We're not going to do any TED Talks. We're not going to do anything you don't want to do yet. So I think it's sort of like, okay, like a little leaf, like maybe let's land softly, gently. And your presence and grounding, every time I'm around it, you don't have to do anything, Cordelia. You can just be there. Just like, see, she can do it. She can do it. You can do it too. You'll be okay. So I so appreciate you. You're just, I don't know. You're like an angel in the body. I don't know. Beyond that, there's no words for you. So I want to just say to people, because this is another question you ask, what do we as leaders do to continue, you know, our growth. First of all, the universe will send you amazing people like that, and when the student's ready. But the second is, as the student, you do need to take advantage of these opportunities. So when we talked about this, I was like, yeah, that's what I need right now. So
yes, it's very important to say yes and to allow that to come in. So yeah, just thank you for being so vulnerable and sharing so openly, you know, about even now as you're getting to your next level, like what's going on for you. Because I think that kind of transparency, you know, we were talking about an inclusive leader, you know, that's what's missing. And since that those are the people you work with, right? You know, it's good to have that as your own practice. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm feeling that you've settled down more, because I'm not feeling anything mm-hmm. in my throat. So mm-hmm. you feel more at ease right now.
Yeah, just the toes a little cold. And when I'm feeling more, it's the irony of things. As you can see, now I'm a blabbermouth because of the anxious energy, or maybe still the deprivation. You know how some people then become compulsive eaters? And now I'm like more of a compulsive, anxious, neurotic, sometimes speaker. And quieting that down to like stop any of the, you know, sort of releasing that. It's good to release, but I think it's also good to know when to not, to feel more, you know, and to get to inclusion. I think so much is including of the shadow, you know, like including of what, if I don't give this an out, what happens? So then actually what I'm feeling is a little bit of a protective bubble too, where, you know, it's like, okay, we're in, but we're not going to go there quite yet. You know, the deepest, the deepest feelings, because, oh boy, there's so much feeling.
There's so much feeling there.
Yeah, but it's more, luckily, more of a, not so much pain anymore. It's more of the pain of unmaterialized potential, you know, and the tears around, like, you know, if you do this, how amazing is that going to feel? And the sadness of not doing that, the tragedy. So now it's coming. Now she's so masterful. She doesn't do anything. I'm just feeling her energy. Oh, gosh. Okay, we're going in. It's good. So it's fortunately not a whole lot before I'd be bawling, right? And I'd be scared to go there. So now it's like, okay, we found the out in the sort of balloon or whatever it is, and we can go in. And that balloon is like deflating and I'm more connected. So yeah, it's not a huge big thing. It's more like the waving back and forth. Now I'm integrating it. So I don't need to bounce, you know, and be scared like that. So now it's, you know, the kind of the healthy fear, not healthy, but, you know, like, yeah, it's going to come with challenges and you're going to fall on your face and you're going to get it back up.
Yeah. And it's okay.
It's okay.
It's all right. We can just dust that off. We're good.
Yeah. Wow. So it feels like, yeah, like I'm here now. So I'm glad it was not a huge, huge, big, you know, catastrophe trauma that you associate, that the younger self is still like, it's going to be all that, your whole life of trauma is going to come out. It's, I've released that. So that's good. It's more of a pattern, an energetic pattern. So that feels good. And my mind has been going there more. Just like, why not? You know, just challenging me. Why not? You can do it. Why not? You thought this was impossible. You did it, you know? So, so now the body is like more like, yeah, why not? Why not? We'll see where it takes us. We'll see where we go. So yeah, that feels good. I feel myself now in my whole lower chakras and everything centered, and like the tree, you know, I could mm-hmm. do the out of the tree meditation, lean against the trunk. And now I feel it in my belly, in the womb also, not just the spine, but I really feel my womb present. Mm-hmm. So that feels really good. I root it some more and connect my branches and all that to the sun and my roots deep. And so, oh my gosh, that feels now like so electrifying in terms of the ancestors and what more needs to be told and what I'm writing in my current book, another pastime, quarantine pastime.
Yeah, I wanna get more like into your current book, but let's just take a really brief break. And I want to thank you for being so open and like just allowing me to witness your transformation like right now. That was,
thank you for facilitating it. Oh. So I really, really appreciate where you taken me and helped me solidify this. I feel really whole and solid and all the pieces like click, 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 click.
It's like having a chiropractor for your soul.
yeah. But a belly, I feel it so much in the womb and the front and the heart. Connecting, like you were saying, the heart to the lower chakra in the womb, the creativity. And even up a little bit still, throat.
Yeah, you're still okay. There. It's so funny because like as you're talking, I'm like listening to your words and just I don't know. It's almost like I feel like I'm filtering it through me and sending you back the energy you need. Mm. So it's like unspoken conversation happening there.
and I'm hearing it. Please say it out loud some more, what you're filtering out and what you're sending back. I think I'm feeling it, but I think it's in terms of the word.
Yeah.
It's so powerful to hear. And the consciousness of what you're doing.
Yeah, so when you started talking about your mom and the healing of that, I was feeling the wound oppression that she had passed to you. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. your soul, even when you were being, like as an embryo, you were resisting it. You know, almost like you were a protection for her when you were inside. But it's so much in her that she didn't know how to behave differently with you. Mm-hmm. And it was like the progression of your relationship with her into adulthood, right, facilitated the healing. Because in the end, when she was out of that oppressive environment, you guys came to the United States, you know, in that year while you were, you know, assessing your safety, I think that she at some level may have been also finally putting down her baggage because she could finally rest and breathe and talk.
Yeah, well, for we did have a soul contract. Unfortunately, my mom is 86 and she's still struggling with that a lot and now has dementia. And in her case, it's actually the dementia that has cleared so much of the negativity. But you know, she's still working through it, but I just want to commend and you and acknowledge that whole womb thing, because that's something that I've been writing on and thinking about, where I start off saying I experienced my first dose, unfortunately, of, it's not funny, but it's just, the, you know, you really it's tune into it, the yeah. patriarchy of, you know, my first dose of patriarchy in the womb, because I was born looking like a preemie, really small, but I was full term. And that was because a doctor told my mother not to eat, you know, to keep me small. So it, and she believed it, and she was actually very proud of it because she was an intellect. And so she did what the doctor told her to do. And so I was barely like 6 pounds, but, and I turned out fine, but I, you know, it could have, and maybe did in some ways, you know, already gave me the message. They're going to try to shrink you, girl.
They're going to try and shut you down. Yeah.
Yeah. And keep you small and shrink you. And, it's not safe or scary to expand. So that's been a lifelong thing ever since I've been in the womb. So it means a lot, you tuning in to that. And I do believe my mother had this openness for me, you know, to help her also. And so we've been each other's match in some ways, in a yin-yang kind of way. Yeah, I love her to pieces now. Our relationship is really good. But yeah, we've been through a lot. So thank you for that. So you were tuning into that and the healing and just seeing so much cleared, which it has, you know. She was the driver who got us here, you know. So it's a mixed bag of things when you have somebody who's so fierce, maybe sometimes a bit misguided, but so many things we're right on track. So I'm very thankful for all that she's done.
I don't, you know, like even when you use the word nemesis and right now you're using the word misguided, it doesn't, those words kind of like, it doesn't match her struggle, but it does match what she was projecting, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no doubt that she loved me to pieces, but she'd been taught that, you know, if I love you, I'm not going to let you, I'm not coddle you. I'll abuse you, but you know, that's what I mean with the misguided. But it was never a question of where that was coming from.
Yeah. So the discipline that she was inculcated with, she mm-hmm. was, you know, that was her way. But now she's free of doing that. Like you said, you know, she's mm-hmm. free of the negativity and the outside stuff. But you have always been shielded. I don't know if it was your spiritual guides or you were pulling mm-hmm. from a different pool of ancestry that was more, that was stronger and mm-hmm. more matriarchal than, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Wow. That's interesting. Yeah, thank you for that, because I don't often try and put it into words. I usually just kind of feel into it. And I think that's kind of, you know, to go back to when we met and I was speaking on stage, that's the thing I do. It's like, I really lean into those different emotions because mm-hmm. they are like muscle memory. And mm-hmm. even for me, I can't really tell you my story without showing you or making you feel that, you mm-hmm. know? And then like the same thing when I'm tuning into someone, you're right. I don't usually use words so much. So my like verbal processing is like a little bit slowed down.
Probably good. Probably. Energy is so much deeper and so much bigger than words, right? That's one of the things I even talk about. Like I got validation from these girl, young spirit guides that there is a knowing beyond words. Especially Helen Keller, right? She's feeling the water, how vital all of that is. And only later in life did she understand, you know, and could, you know, make words for that. And it's like, okay, all right, we're good. You know, I don't have to have it all figured out and all in words. It did become a quest, almost like a bit of an obsession now, you know, with all the writing, maybe an overcompensation. But I try to balance it and go back to that wordless place, and I'm glad still working because your magic is working on me. And I can feel it, like, okay girl, do that, which is
well, you know, I know that we reconnected because of your words, right? Mm-hmm. I've been on your newsletter since we met, but you recently wrote a really long article about mm-hmm. what's been going on with the race relations in the United States. And you just like took it to the next level relating to mm-hmm. basically world history. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to ask you a question about that, but I want everybody to read that article. That must be read. But to what extent are the things that are in that article, are they also discussed mm-hmm. in your second book that's coming out soon?
Actually, I haven't made that clear link yet. Just in a tiny, tiny nutshell, that article where I deeply explore my race, you know, my own history of racism, race relations, oppression, is to just show a different world where I'm born in my native Suriname, recognizes the most diverse country, second most diverse country in the world, even though there have been oppression. But I find it interesting to see how our internalized oppression as oppressed people can lead us then to become the oppressors. And so we only know white privilege, and it's all confounded with class and skin color and power and all of that. But and it is globally, but to see it how that plays out in another world can really challenge that and help us to see what is it, what's the oppressor in each of us, as Audre Lorde says. So my second book, which is much more playful, it's called right now The 21st Century Jungle Book, and it is
nice. I love it.
modern day psychology and expertise and timeless nature wisdom to help empower us to go back to these Mowgli experiences that we've all had in nature or someplace where we trusted our playfulness and freedom and truth, and how to bring that out and speak it when it matters most. You know, we also don't have to speak it all the time, as I learned from my own history. When can you just trust it and be quiet? That's what I'm learning now. And tune back into the energies of what's happening. So it feels like a very in tune book with all that's happening. And I feel like I'm, you know, really experiencing my creative freedom, because that other article is quite like, you know, in tune with all how you address all these issues as an academic. I had 30 years of race relations, deep research and all that. So it's more that tone. And this one is sort of from the bottom up, like, you know, not dismissing it, but, you know, like, let's start with this. Let's start with who you deeply are, and then how you're going to play and relate and make this a creative endeavor and a transformational endeavor, and do it, you know, light and dark, and look at everything, but transform it using your own unique powers and freedom, you know, freedom to be. We're all different voices. That's part of it too. I'm seeing we're so clumped in terms of your racial identity, or, you know, all these demographics, and my history of having my practice full of people from each and every, you know, racial or ethnic cultural group. It's like there's so many individuals. Don't make any assumptions or put it on them. Who knows? It might be Nelson Mandela, even though this boy is born, you know, and I was exposed to substances while in the womb, you know, all of that. You know, I guide therapists and social workers too. So I help them, you know, see people as souls and for who they really are, as well as the struggles that they need to go through. So that's kind of what the second book is about, and integrating it more, but particularly spoken to the playful, intuitive, natural born healers, leaders, Mowgli hollow bone types, and what to do with all of that. Don't practice selective mutism if you can, let me think of some other things. Go in a sanctuary, right? That sanctuary for sensitive wise souls. So yeah, hopefully it will speak to a group that really needs it and is really powerful, but doesn't think of all of that sensitivity, vulnerability as power. So I feel like that is so needed.
And going back to your original point about how your clients are feeling more stillness and everything, you know, since we've been on lockdown and everything, mm-hmm. I think that it may surprise you that your book may speak to a larger crowd, right? Because even the extroverts and even the non-sensitive souls are actually feeling stuff that they normally are allowed to avoid and ignore and numb. And now they have to feel all that stuff. So they're, but they want it like just given spoon size, right? So whereas your first book would have been too much for them, this book, they'll be like, oh yeah, I can deal with the playfulness. Oh yeah, sure. And oh, maybe I do have like some kind of intuitive healer, or maybe I need one, you know? So you never know.
Absolutely. We're all stretching. And in terms of inclusion and more shadow integrated, I would say that is the positive, some of the positive qualities that I think schools, you know, if you think of kids and research that's done, losing their creative genius, you know, by the age of 10, 15, because of the way we school and sort of guide them in a factory kind of way of thinking and processing the world. I think it's going to appeal to people like that who want more creative ingenuity in tackling situations and relationships. But there's also an interest to go deeper into the shadow in terms of looking at these dark roots and what that is all about. I think it invites all of that too, but in a way that's safe, that is not intimidating. Because unfortunately, I think most of us, really what we're most scared of are our own feelings and our own emotions, right? Like if I have to, it's not the TED Talk I'm scared of. It's just like, what am I going to feel in here? Yep. And this having such long roots, you know, I didn't go deeper into it, but you know, my mother, you know, her maternal ancestors were slaves, and she also has some ancestry that was Jewish and Chinese, and you know, dealing with trauma and wars from all of those places, and maybe it comes out in harsh parenting, but us intuitives are already from the beginning sort of like curious. You know, I know that's not my mother. Where did she pick this up? No, not this lifetime. She picked it up from an even older life. Where did she get this, right? So people are becoming more and more interested in knowing that about themselves. And I think especially even white Americans, you know, it's not seen as a huge big loss. It's more seen as a privilege. But from a person and who comes from a culture and having done cross-national research, they, you know, people don't see that as a white privilege. They don't get that. They see a hollow, a numb, empty shell, and they're like, that is so sad, you know. So we need to also, I think, see things from different angles and intrigue people who've had maybe on a material level experience privilege, but really understand their pain too and where that's coming from and how they might be projecting or taking that out or scapegoating on other people and rejecting those parts in them, what they've rejected within themselves. So it's an all around, I think, book that helps people round out and become more full, but in a safe and more playful way.
I just love how you so beautifully blend all of the things, your beautiful maroon and Chinese and Indian, it is Indian, right?
There's probably
no Jewish.
Yeah, Jewish, but there might be also a bit of an indigenous, looking at pictures of my great-grandmother.
Yeah. So you have all of those, you know, strong genes within you, and then also opening us up to the possibility of welcoming, you know, how we go ahead and heal the world without guilting or shaming ourselves as humanity, whether we're white, you know, or black or somewhere in between, and, you know, releasing the concept of colorism, because, you know, you spoke earlier about how the oppressed become the oppressor because the oppressor helps us to stay oppressed by dividing and conquering, and that's colorism. So I just thank you for every single thing you've shared today. I highly recommend that everyone, you know, connect with Lorraine and Dr. Lorraine. I'm going to call you Dr. Lorraine. I know you don't like that, but we're just
Dr. B. Some of my clients call me Dr. B in a playful way.
All right. So, yes. And so please go to thesacredhealingwell.com. And I'm also, I also invite you to go to her YouTube channel. She has a Facebook page with the same name. And I'll be posting all of the ways to connect with her underneath the podcast and the video. And again, Lorraine, thank you so much on being here on the Free to Be show and sharing your love and light.
I so appreciate it. And I just wanted to say one specific, share one specific appreciation that I have that felt so right on and so relevant, which is the idea of shame and guilt as being feelings that oppress other, your raw energy and feelings. And I believe that Cordelia is so good at just opening that up. The first level, I call it, you have a first level, second level, stories about that and on and on. And so to catch that and discourage people from doing that, because that is not, some people might feel that's freeing me, I'm expressing my feelings, but you're not, if you shut that down. So just to discern the difference. And I do appreciate how well you do that. I can feel it every time I'm around you, and it has greatly helped me today. So thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me.
You're so very welcome. And for those of you who are listening and viewing, if you benefited from today, sharing is caring. And so share this with someone, with another soul, with another heart, and help them to be free to be. Good night.